Ramsey TV.
Hi everyone, this is Mark Zender, and I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I'm here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, holding court at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. Everybody wants to know more about what's happening with the conflict in Israel. So for those who aren't aware of the prophecies in Daniel concerning a religious war between the West and the East, let me do a teaching on that. I have many new subscribers. For those of you who have heard this before, I'll always have new insights and a new slant on things as my understanding is more mature than it was the last time I looked at it. I hate studying about world religions because I don't care about them. I only care about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Paul, the God. And it's always painful to look into these other religions. I can't imagine that going into a seminary and studying world religions. What a complete waste of time. I only look at it enough to be able to explain to you what's happening in the world right now and how it applies to the end of days, how it applies to the final years of Millennium 6. So what we have here in the Middle East, as I said yesterday, is an age-old argument between the descendants of two individuals, Isaac and Ishmael. And it is the flesh versus the spirit. It is the East versus the West. And when I apply spirit to the West, I do that quite loosely because the Christian nations of Western Europe and the United States are, of course, a pseudo-spiritual entity. But Israel is that too. The true Israel is out there somewhere, and they are legitimate sons of promise, that is, sons of Isaac. And even though they're not doing what they're supposed to do, even though they're a fleshly people, even though they've been hardened nationally by God, they're still God's people. And so when I say the flesh versus the spirit, what I mean is the sons of Ishmael. And I explained to you yesterday how these were two sons of Abraham, one born from an effort in the flesh to produce the promised seed that was Ishmael, who came via Abraham going into his wife Sarah's handmaiden because he wasn't seeing God fulfilling the promise that he made him to make him the father of many nations. That son was Ishmael, and he became the father of the Arabs. And Isaac then was the son of the promise. This was the son that God had promised Abraham, who would come not via Abraham's strength, not via Abraham's power, but by the Spirit of God. So I guess it's better to look at the Spirit as the source of the thing. Because you can't look at Israel now, or Christianity, of course, and say that's a spiritual entity. But in the case of Israel, it's a spiritual source. And of course, God will pour his spirit out on these same people, and they will do what they're finally supposed to do. Now, in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, we have the political and the religious future. We have the future being predicted by Daniel. Who is this? Minding his own business after he got exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as a lot of the house of Judah who were exiled. And the king at that time, the king of the world, was Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. This was the first king who could rightly be said to be the authority over the whole earth. And this man had a dream in Daniel chapter 2. And I'll go through that briefly, but I want to get to Daniel chapter 7 when Daniel has a vision and he sees four beasts coming out of the sea. In fact, I want to start with that. I want to start with Daniel chapter 7 because these four beasts coming out of the sea are four religions who have been really imbued with political power. There are only four main religions in the world: Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity. Everything else is an offshoot. You see how I love to keep this simple? And it is simple. Daniel keeps it simple, saying, I saw four beasts coming out of the sea. And when we look into the details, I'm not going to get too detailed into it because I've done that before, but when we look into the description of these four beasts in the scripture, which I'm going to go to, Daniel chapter 7, we see that they fit these religions perfectly. They fit the religions. And so let's go to Daniel chapter 7. I'll comment briefly as I go, but let me give you the big picture first. What we have here is a very mobile and dark and evil religion, or should I say this, the terrorist branch of it, and that is Islam. Those who say you can't judge the religion by these few terrorists, it's actually the terrorists who call themselves fundamentalists who are actually following their writing, the Quran, which dictates to them that they kill infidels. And so they are actually taking it seriously. This would be the equivalent of Christians thinking that God is the eternal tormentor of most of humanity and going out and shaking everyone, knocking on doors, telling everyone to repent or they're going to be burned. These are the fundamentalists, the ones who really believe it. So anybody who criticizes the fanatical branch of the Islam religion, really, I mean, yeah, it's awful, it's terrible, but these are the ones who are, they think they're doing God's work. And they will wreak havoc in the world. And they are, and we see another aspect of that now. We see it continually happening because these people never say die. Their goal is simple. They want to force their law, Sharia law, on the rest of the world. They want to make the rest of the world Islamicists. And they'll kill and destroy on the way towards that goal. And they're fanatical. You might remember September 11th, 2001. These individuals, these people don't need, they don't need baited to do this. This is what they do. In the previous administration, I'm here in the United States of America at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. The president, I think it's getting to be where on this platform you're not going to be even able to say this man's name. In the last couple of videos, I've said his name, but I think the days are coming when even that will not be allowed. And free speech is being excised as we speak. I will say the former real estate developer from Queens, when he was the president of the United States, he recognized the danger, and he made it a priority of his administration to squash it down. This is prophesied in the Bible. Yes, it is prophesied in the Bible that this will happen. People don't recognize that the main war we have is not a political war. Although we do have a political war, but behind it is this giant religious war. And it's being hidden as a political war. But I'm sure you've noticed that in the West, that is with the political right, there is the tendency to amalgamate with religion. There's a very strong branch of that arm of government, that arm of a political ideology that is Christian. I mean, on our money, it says, in God we trust. Of course, that's a sham. We don't trust in God. But isn't it interesting that our very currency names the name of God? So it's primarily a spiritual warfare. And when we see civilization being threatened by a very mobile, a very violent, a very insistent religion, speaking of Islam, then we have to take it seriously. And you can't negotiate with insane people who will stop at nothing to destroy you. You must destroy them. And this is what the former real estate developer from Queens did. And it was magnificent. He killed their leaders. And he basically, I showed you, I remember 3 years ago, I showed you a map of the Middle East. And I showed you the influence of Islam in the Middle Eastern regions. And with every successive month, even, of the real estate developer's presidency, you saw it shrink and shrink and shrink. And there's a verse on this in Daniel. There is a verse on this. I've got to get to it. But now, since the administration has changed and we have a weak-kneed, flappy-handed, addle-brained, so-called leader, we see this faction rising again. In fact, we even give them money. One of the main countries that is fond of this religion of Islam is Iran. And the addle-brained leader and the two leaders before him, the first African-American president, we gave astonishingly, we gave this country, which backs terrorism, which you're seeing right now in the news, lots of money. Well, because they said they were going to use it for good causes, so there's a lot of intrigue and bribery and everything behind that. For our purposes, let's just say that I want to keep things as simple as possible. They used the money to fund terrorism, and that's what you're seeing now. And it's not just between them and Israel. It's between them and the West and the rest of it. If these people ever got a nuclear weapon, they would not hesitate to use it. You understand that? So this is a prime threat in our world, even bigger than Ukraine, bigger than Russia. It's a prime threat. Because there are infiltrations everywhere. And that's what you're seeing today. You're just seeing it again. And I thought, back when the former real estate developer from Queens was in charge, I thought, and I think it was a fulfillment of Scripture, but I didn't see that it was going to come back again, and there would be a, I thought maybe from that point on, we would see a growth of the religious right. We would see a growth of the good guys, quote unquote, taking over and bringing the white horse rider type things that we want to see on the earth. Freedom of speech, national sovereignty, no wars. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. That's it. Peace and security. Isn't that what the people will be saying before the disaster falls upon them? They will be saying peace and security. But then they do not know it, but the hand of God is hanging over them unawares. But everybody wants peace and security. But in order to have it, we need to stamp out this religion and its representatives. We're not very nice people. So that's an overview. Daniel chapter 7. In year 1 of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Belshazzar replaced Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel himself perceived a dream and visions of his head on his bed. He wrote down the dream, stating the beginning of the matters. Daniel was speaking up and saying, I was perceiving in my vision during the night, and behold, the four winds of heavens were rushing forth to the vast sea. And four monstrous animals were coming up from the sea, diverse from one another. The eastern animal. This is a very critical translation. I forget what the Hebrew word is here, but the Concordant version, this is translated, I think, the first animal in the King James Version, but this can also be translated Eastern. And when you translate this Eastern, it opens a whole vein of truth. Because not only do the descriptions of these beasts match the religions that I mentioned, but these religions, in the order of their description, go from east to west. It's remarkable. The Eastern animal was like a lioness. This is Buddhism. And she had the wings of a vulture. I was perceiving until her wings were scraped smooth. And she was lifted up from the earth and was made to stand on 2 feet like a mortal. And the heart of a mortal was granted to her. Buddhism is the most noble and careful and nonviolent religion that there is. Wings speaks of spread. Buddhism spread in its early years and then was suddenly stopped. I go into more detail on this in other videos. I should link those videos to you. What I would do if I were you, I would just go to this platform, YouTube. I'd put in Martin Zender, Four Beasts of Daniel. The Four Beasts of Daniel. I covered this exhaustively in the Revelation series if you want to know more about it. And behold, another animal, a second one like a she-bear. One part was set up and 3 ribs were in her mouth between her teeth. This is Hinduism, which thrives on the caste system. And it is, you notice we're going from east to west. Buddhism being the far east, China, Japan. Hinduism, centered mainly in India. We're moving to the west from the east. Concerning this animal, which is described here as a she-bear, one part was set up. These are the Brahmins. The Brahmins are the top caste in Hinduism. They're the priests and the so-called intellectuals. And 3 ribs were in her mouth between her teeth. Thus they're saying to her, rise, devour huge amounts of flesh. With the caste system, the lower castes feed the upper castes. And underneath the Brahmins, you have the Kshatriya, which are the warriors, the military leaders, maybe some nickel and dime political leaders. And below that, you have the Vaishya, which are the manual laborers, merchants, traders. That group can be divided into 2 subcategories, the Sudras, which are the manual laborers. Yeah, the people who make everything work. And the untouchables. These are the scum of society, the street cleaners, bathroom cleaners, and so forth. So the top castes, the Brahmins, eat great amounts of flesh, and there are 3 ribs, 3 castes of the Hindu system. And you don't see anything about wings because this religion doesn't move. It's stable and it has not spread. It has moved. It has not moved. Apparently, nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. However, verse 6, in place of this, I was perceiving, and behold, another animal like a leopardess. She had 4 wings. This is Islam, Mohammedism, if you like. The 4 wings of a flyer on her arched back. The animal had 4 heads, and jurisdiction was granted to her. There are 4 basic schools of Islam, which the 4 heads refer to. I don't care about any of this. I looked it up. The 4 schools or the 4 heads of Islam are Maliki, Hanafi, Shafi, and Hanbali. Whoop-de-frickin-do. But there it is. And the Eastern animal, you see, as we're going east to west, we see, this can't be national blocks, because there are more than 4 nations, obviously. There are more than 4 national blocks or blocks of countries. You have Eastern Europe, Western Europe. By the time you get done with those kinds of subdivisions, you have more than four. And yet there are only four religions. Not only that, but this happens under the reign of Belshazzar. This is the guy who took all the implements from the temple. He was more of a religious guy. And this is also described in the book of Revelation. These four beasts are amalgamated, homogenized into one beast. And this happens in the temple section of the book of the unveiling. The temple section. There are two sections in the book of Revelation, two main distinctions, the throne section and the temple section. The throne section having to do with the political salvation of the world, the stamping down of man's politics and bringing in of God's politics. And the temple section, the religious deliverance of the world. And we know that religion and politics will be perfectly joined in the 1,000-year kingdom, as Jesus Christ is not only a king, but he's also a priest. All through human history, you have kings and priests. You have the political and the religious. And later in Daniel, these four beasts are called kingdoms, but don't get sidetracked by that, thinking that we must be talking politics, because, well, for instance, Buddhism has influenced governments and actually has been identified by governments as a source of their authority and legitimacy. So these religions do have political power, and they really underlie. This is the strange thing, is these spirits. And as Daniel sees four winds, four spirits coming up, these religions are animated by actual spiritual beings that demand the worship of their subjects, and they express themselves on the earth through political powers. So when you're talking about religion and politics, the way most people see it is you have politics. That's the big thing. The kings, the presidents, the prime ministers. And then underneath that, you have religions. It's nice to have a religion in your country. Everybody needs something to believe in. But actually, it's the opposite. It's the religious that informs the political, even though the religious is underneath. But that's the way Satan works. He operates underneath. And he causes people, I mean, even if you're an atheist, you're dealing with a spiritual thing, aren't you? Because what do atheists say? What's their main thing? I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. That's a spiritual disposition. It's anti-spiritual, but it's based, it's in the realm of God. And so these beasts, these spiritual, these false gods, these small g gods, but very powerful gods that infuse and inspire all these religions are behind. They're the driving force, if you can believe it, behind the political entities. And I think one of the reasons, you'll never hear this anywhere else, one of the reasons the left hates the right, and this is legitimate, actually, it's a legitimate reason to hate the right, is that they see the religious hypocrisy. For some reason, the political right is a convenient host, carrier, you might say, for religion, because it presents itself as moral. Whereas on the left, it's generally, godless. Wants to drive God out, keep God out of schools, keep God off our money, keep religion and politics, church and state, separate. Which there's some value in that. But they want to do it for the wrong reasons. They actually don't want God, period. They want to do it for all the wrong reasons. But I don't believe the left even knows why they hate the right. It's not just their ideology. It's the fact that they're goody-two-shoes. They're seen as goody-two-shoes. And the right, the goody-two-shoes, don't even see themselves as being driven by a religious force. But boy, oh boy, are we seeing this more and more with a movement behind the former real estate developer from Queens. We see a religious movement. It's coming on big time. God and country. Country music. All about God and country and beer and chicks in cowboy boots. That's America, don't you know? But it's being inspired by a religious spirit that is the spirit of the fourth beast. Let me get to the fourth beast here. So far, I've described Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam in the form of the she-bear, the lioness, the she-bear, and the leopardess. These are all female beasts. The female gender is often used to describe in scripture to describe spiritual aspects of things. And even the monster, the indistinct animal at the end here is called in the Concordant version of the Old Testament, it's called a monstrous. And this is what you're seeing today. Even though Daniel wrote this thousands of years ago, this is happening today. This is what you're seeing in the news. In place of this, verse 7, Daniel 7. I was perceiving in the visions of the night, and behold, a fourth animal, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly mighty. She had monstrous iron teeth, and she was devouring and crushing and stamping upon the remainder with her feet. The remainder of what? The remainder of these other religions. She was diverse from all the animals that were east of her, and she had 10 horns. These are the 10 political powers within Christianity. I don't know specifically what they are. I think they've been changing. This has been fluid. But when this thing goes down, there will be 10. And there's a little bit of horn come up from among them. This will be the man of lawlessness. And lo, there were eyes of a mortal in this horn. And there was a mouth declaring monstrous things. And it was making war. With the saints. What I want to point out to you is that the Western beast, which is Christianity, has iron teeth and copper claws. This is the most armed group of people that there are on the planet Earth. And it's been a good thing. It was handy when defeating Hitler. World War II was very handy then to have iron teeth and copper claws. But these will also be used in the near future to stamp out this reassertion of Islam. The current administration in my country has no stomach for fighting. And you might say, well, we don't have to fight. It's not our fight. It's Israel's fight. But who supports Israel? Who gives Israel whatever weapons she needs to fight these terrible, awful, satanic people? We do. And we do have an interest in it. I mean, yes. It's a good thing to stop these people. It's like Hitler in World War II. Hitler wanted to take over the world. You and I can't imagine people like that. We're just trying to run our own lives. But there are people who want to take over the freaking world. These people want to take over the world. And they don't play by the rules. And if they get a nuclear weapon, and we've given them money in order to do that, we don't tell them it's for that. Just don't use this to build a nuke. And they say, okay, don't worry, we won't. So I think that this is going to get worse until the former real estate developer from Queens comes back, in which case he's going to have to roll his eyes and say, again, I got to do this again. Only this time, I don't think it's going to be you know, sniping their leaders. I think it's going to be, I think it might involve a mushroom cloud. Won't that be exciting?